Right now it is time to bring in the frick and frack of Nick and Knack, Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys. You can find them anytime at tqag.com on the web. Good morning and happy Thanksgiving in advance, you guys.
Hey, good morning.
Are y'all set for Thanksgiving? I mean, you got anything planned?
Yeah, we're spending the day with Tim's mom and dad, and this year I'm trying something a little different. And no turkey was harmed in the in this day, at least by my hands. Let's put it that way. Because of our schedule, I decided to order from one of our local
markets.
Just take everything down there to his mom and dad's, and we're going to spend a nice day, just the four of us, and eat until we can.
Well, you know, it's funny because this is the first year I am cooking turkey, but it's going to be a turkey breast simply because there's. My family size is dwindling, and for myself, I no longer need to get a 7 or 10 or 15 pound turkey. So, it finally dawned on me. Yesterday when I was preparing my menu, I said, "You know, I'm getting old. I don't even make a full turkey dinner for myself anymore."
Well, just to be perfectly honest here, I saw a post that I thought, you know, I think I'm going to try this recipe. I'm sure you've seen it on Facebook or all over the web. It's the Turkraken. It's an octopus stuffed in in a turkey, and they call it the Turkraken. That would be kind of a fun thing. I know it was a joke, but I'm sure somebody's going to try it.
I'll stick with my when I make a turkey. I'll stick with my homemade stuffing in there.
Yeah.
Even though I do know somebody that stuffs their turkey with nothing but fresh fruits, and at first I thought it was crazy, but it did add a lot of flavor to the turkey.
I've actually done that. Okay. I've done that. It does make a big difference. It gives you a lot sweeter.
Yeah. I called it a brighter flavor. Yeah, it really did.
Yeah.
But when they told me they did it, I looked at them and said, this is not right. Well, anyway, on to some news. And I've got two or three things that are queued up in here. This is amazing. An Einstein manuscript that has survived the years is now going up for auction in Paris, and they do believe that this will bring in millions of dollars. It's a 54-page document. 54 pages, and it's they think it's only one of two surviving documents that Einstein wrote. It's pretty amazing.
Wow. Is it the theory of relativity?
I have no idea what it is. It's
the preparatory work.
Oh,
for
my God.
His theory of relativity. So it's all the things leading up to, because I'm sure that I'm sure there was a lot of work leading up to that. So this is something that is, it's part of the sale, and it will, they have it estimated at like $2.3 to $3.4 million dollars.
I'm looking at a picture of it, and you know what? It looks like a picture of something a genius would do.
Right.
It's all over the place that only that genius would really understand it.
Yeah. Well, and they're saying that it's the rarest of the Einstein manuscripts, so quite an addition to somebody's collection if they were going to add that. I mean, just this rare piece. Yeah, that's coming up soon.
We'll go to other geniuses of another side, and that is, and we've talked about musicians and guitar auctions before, but it's pretty amazing. Guitars owned by U2's The Edge, Eddie Van Halen, Elvis Presley, and Eric Clapton were the highest bidded items at the auction over the weekend. The auction brought in a little over $5 million. And to me, it sounds like they went for a reasonable price. I don't know if you would agree with that, but to me, Amy Winehouse's Fender Stratocaster went for $153,000, and for anybody who might be a collector, I think that's a fairly reasonable sum.
Yeah, I think this was at Julian's.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Been following the sale, and I did briefly scan the article after it sold, because I've been waiting for the results because of the number of big named guitars that were musical instruments that were up for sale. So I know that it happened this past week, and or this weekend, I think this past weekend, and yeah. Yeah, was it New York or was it in Vegas?
Yes, it was in New York.
One of Eric Clapton's guitars went for $625,000. And how about the handwritten lyrics for Layla that went for a bargain, $37,500, which was lower than the estimate.
Right.
But I still think anybody that's a Clapton fan and a collector, I just think that's just a great thing to have in your collection.
Oh, sure.
And
no, I think that's great. And it depends, because there isn't just one set of lyrics. You know, is it the working lyrics? Is it the with the scribbles and all that? Or was it, just a handwritten, here it is for, there's different iterations of lyrics. So that could be what that's why it's at 37.5, not like his original working lyrics that you see. Here were the words that he had in there, and then they scratch them out and get the, those are the things that go for a lot more, is the working, the earlier work, the work product.
And I love the press release from Julian's. This is my favorite line of the whole press release. A terrifying painting of a clown by Frank Sinatra in 1991 somehow sold for $56,000, five times the pre-auction estimate.
I don't know if you saw what it looked like, but it looks. What's that scary guy in the sewer? He looks like that from that horror movie. It's truly ugly. I mean, ugly with a capital UG. And I just can't imagine, because when you look at it, it looks like it's staring right at you, and it's very ugly. In fact, I'll tell you what I'll do, Marshall. If you want to, I'll send you the link so you can look at it. And it's not, I think it would be hysterical to actually do a screen print of it and then just make a small frame of it and hang it on the back of the bathroom door so that when you close the door.
Well, that reminded me of the chance you gave us to make some money when Donald Trump's picture that he drew with a magic marker, I think, drew enough that it made us some money. And it was because there was somebody who likes Donald Trump and collected Donald Trump stuff.
Yeah, well, somebody liked this enough to pay $56,000 for that's for sure.
Well, maybe the
clowns and Frank Sinatra.
Well, remember we talked about the copy of the U.S. Constitution? That went for $43 million.
Isn't that something? Yeah, that is amazing.
And they outbid all the cryptocurrency buyers that were the consortium of cryptocurrency bidders. So it was a hedge fund.
You know, that was a little vague to me. Did you understand that? I wonder if it was just a group that dealt with cryptocurrency, or they were actually expecting.
No.
I mean, they.
No, Greg. It was a group that was putting. So everybody, there would be one buyer, but there could have been 150 people contributing, or 300 people, or 3,000. but then they would all own a fractional interest of that document. But they were outbid. They didn't get enough people to put in money to outbid this hedge fund guy.
I did read that the person that bought it is going to display it. You know, it's going to be in a museum because he doesn't want it to just be squirreled away somewhere. He said it's a document for everybody. So that's a very honorable thing to do, and I think I would love to be able to see one. The only one I've ever seen was at the archives and it's under glass. But I think it would be great to have this, that you'll be able to actually go in and look at an original document. I think that's fantastic.
You know, we can go from that to back to Sotheby's for a minute. And there's a Hamilton Aphrodite statue, okay? A marble statue that last sold 70 years ago. They think now that it will sell for £3 million.
That I have not seen. And that's coming up at Sotheby's. I'll have to look for that because I usually get the notices on what's coming up at. Do you know when that's coming up for sale?
It doesn't say, but it must be fairly soon because the press release was just released. Oh, it's going to be in London on December 7th.
Oh, okay. I'll probably get the email today. I've been doing a lot of research lately. I was helping Tim out with a project, and so in doing the research, this is the one good thing, I guess, about the internet is if you go into a site, you automatically will start getting notices for it. So I'm getting all of these great upcoming auction things from auction houses all over the world that are coming up. And it's really kind of fun to watch because I'm watching some auction today coming up for contemporary art and also design, which is mid-century modern is still hot as can be. But the jewelry sale, big jewelry sales are coming up because I think they're coming up in the next
the next couple of weeks right after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Is the
holiday season normally a busy time? Or to me, I would think it should be a slow time for auctions. Or am I wrong about that?
No, they continue and they do. It's right after Thanksgiving, so right now, of course, is the slow period because I have to go out on an on-site today. But then after that, you know, everyone is going to be preparing for Thursday and getting to where they need to be and whatever is going on. But then right after the holiday, both for appraisals and for auctions, it's the last kind of group of sales for the end of the year. So there's a number of sales that take place, like Greg was saying, jewelry. The beginning part of December, there's jewelry, there's some contemporary and art, there's a lot of art. That is coming up. So those items will that will go through about the 15th or the 17th of December, and then it shuts down until mid-January. But it's also a time that we pick up for appraisals because everybody gets together. And this is a time, not so much last year because everyone was quarantined, but now people are getting out and seeing other people, and families will be getting together and be, hey, we need to deal with this thing. Hey, let's find out what this is worth. What are we going to do with this? So it just has never failed since Greg and I've been in our business is that we always get an uptick of phone calls either right after Thanksgiving and then, of course, into the new year between Christmas and New Year is when everyone's together and saying, hey, what do we want to do with all this stuff? Let's get rid of it. So.
Well, it seems, at least from my perspective, since we've been doing this for, close to 28 years now, the winter sales seem to be you know, coming up. And the thing is, it's like there's like a little slow period, and then all of a sudden, just before the holidays, it's like they want to get everything done before the end of the year, and they have it's almost like the culmination of the auction season, I guess. But it's because of the internet now, everything is amplified even more. Because I just remember when we first started, and of course the internet was still in an infancy at that point in time, and you know, there was no mention of online auctions. And so now what's happened is they've become more than just a live event. They've become something that everybody around the world can follow, and so consequently this time of the year is very, very busy because of that. So the December sales are usually, they seem to always be blockbuster sales for a lot of the different assets.
Well, you know, you bring that up, and I have a question, Tim. Has the internet put more pressure on auction houses simply because I would assume every business needs its downtime to take a look at what's transpired in 1 year and what's coming up for the next year? Has this internet surge taken that away from auction houses, where there's more pressure on them?
Well, I don't think that it's more pressure. I think that it's just more logistical planning is what they have to really make sure, because they may not be doing what it has helped in the positive side of it is, instead of having to do all live auctions where it's all where you have a lot of staff involved, you can do timed online auctions where those, you know, that it's over a certain course of time, and you know when it's going to close, and it's a smaller group of your employees that are actually managing that sale and then closing it out. So it has offered a little more flexibility, oddly enough, is that they're able to schedule things. So, for example, what Heinemann will do is that they will have, like in their jewelry sale, they will do their significant or magnificent jewels on one day, but then the next day is an online, and it's online only, and it's only open for, you know, the next 3 days, so that while they're closing that one, this one is still going, and then that closes out. So there's a variety of different things that the internet, that we're just really exploring in the way that it can really help. But it does come down to just planning and logistical planning, just even with appraisals, because we are in a constant, you know, there is no real season for appraisals. I mean, some people schedule death, but you really can't schedule death. And there's just a lot of things that happen around that, and we are available, and we are, you know, able to assist with that if needed. So we also have to plan, because our offices are closed, you know, during the major holidays. And I told my staff, my team, I said, look, here is what we have to just relax during this week. This is great, because between now and Thanksgiving and Christmas, we're going to have, you know, people are going to be coming out of the woodwork, and people are going to want to quick appraisals for things that, oh, we need to donate this. Oh, we need to do this. Or, oh, we need to get rid of this, and so we need this. So there's a lot of things that there's a potential that will happen. And I want to make sure that, you know, we are rested as we venture into the new year. So the internet has really, in some ways, yes, it has simplified or helped, but in other ways it has also doubled and quadrupled and magnified the amount of work.
You know, one of the other things that's worth mentioning about this, the auction season, is that you were talking about scheduling, and one of the things that that's in the process is when you're scheduling, you have to check with all of the other major auction houses, depending on what asset you're selling, because you don't want to have your big jewel sale on the same day that you know, Christie's and Sotheby's have something going on, because they stagger it so that everybody gets a piece of the pie, basically, and it doesn't take away from and doesn't take away from the importance of the sale that that's happening at this moment in time, because then what will happen is tomorrow there'll be a whole, another sale that's equally by another auction house that's equally as magnificent. So scheduling is a very, very important thing, especially this time of the year. And, you know, because of the lead time of auctions, it's like up to 6 or 8 months. For example, use Amy Winehouse. I'm sure you've seen the advertisements for Amy Winehouse all the time. You know, like it's coming up. But they started like almost a year ago pushing that. So all of these things, it's scheduling is a very important part of planning an auction, especially even now with the internet, when people are signed up to do one sale, during the day, and then maybe they'll do the same with another auction house the next day, but they don't. It's kind of hard to do both at the same time. So unless it's a morning session and an evening session, which is yet another thing, is like what do you? The evening session seems to be the most important session for some reason. It always has been, at least in the art world. So planning is a very important issue when it comes to doing auctions, especially this time of the year.
All right. Well, I want you guys to plan well and have a happy Thanksgiving and enjoy the food and enjoy the company. And we'll speak to you next week.
We have to finish putting up our lights. We have to finish putting up our lights. This is our weekend to do that. So
my tree goes up. My tree goes up on Thursday, and my house gets decorated on Thursday, and it all comes down January 1st.
Right.
All right, guys. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, Marshall. Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye. Bye. Tim, Luke, and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack on Robin Hood Radio this morning.